In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, you may notice that I am delivering the homily today, even though we have Father Thomas Soroka here. I'll tell you a little bit about why I'm preaching and he's not. Of course, you know him because he has two podcasts on ancient faith, The Path, with daily spiritual gems, scripture readings, and commentary from the Fathers. And also he has sermons at St. Nicholas, where he shares the sermons from his home parish. Father Thomas was preaching a sermon just recently. In fact, the last time he preached there, he was speaking so powerfully and with such electricity, really. It was in the air, it was filling the whole place, that a transformer blew, and the power went out. And this was at the 17-minute mark of the sermon. You guys don't, you never got to 17 minutes. But the power went out, and the parish decided to send Father Thomas on quote-unquote vacation. So he's here. I jest. He's going to share some words at the end of today's service when it's a little safer. But Father Thomas has been serving that parish and the church in general for some 19 years, just celebrating his anniversary to the Holy Priesthood. So Father Thomas, we ask God to grant you many, many more years and continued diligence and powerful preaching. Father Thomas, when he told me he wasn't going to preach, he said he wants to be ministered to this Sunday. And I was thinking to myself, now I'm in trouble. But then I realized that, you know, as priests, we don't really give our own teaching. We don't give our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own advice. What we do is we share the teaching of the church, which is the teaching of the Lord. And we're all ministered to every Sunday, whether we give the sermon or hear the sermon. It's God who is speaking to us through the consensus of his church. And I want to share with you some teachings of that consensus. I was listening to an excellent talk on the prayer of Saint Ephrem. Sometimes it's called the Lenten prayer of Saint Ephrem. We have that prayer during the 40 days. We use it at that time, but it can be used at any time. And I was listening to Archimandrite Maximus Constas from Simino Petra Monastery in Mount Athos. He's given a number of excellent talks which are available on patristicnectar.com. And I was listening to this lecture series that he gave, and I want to share some of the teaching, which doesn't really, again, come from him. It comes from the consensus. So he gives a teaching of his elder, Elder Emilianus, who just recently reposed, a blessed memory. Also different fathers of the church, and of course, the Holy Scriptures. But as a transition, a segue from what we've been talking about, which is the high calling in Christ, which is sometimes almost too lofty for us to imagine. That high calling in Christ, where we're called to be God's priests, prophets, and kings on this earth, lifting up the earth and sanctifying it, that sometimes seems to be almost too difficult for us, almost impossible. Like last Sunday, we feel like the silly monkey. Or perhaps we feel like we're greedy like a pig, or lazy like a sloth, or stubborn like a mule, or our spouse might think we're a black widow, or whatever the case is. We think that we're somehow not fulfilling that high, lofty expectation of God. And we've fallen down to be like the animals. But we know, of course, we're actually sometimes worse than the animals because of our passions, our sins, our pride, our anger, our vainglory. All of these things that the animals don't even possess, but we see in the demons. We feel like we've fallen that low, and how can we possibly become Christ-like? Important thing for us to consider as we're about to celebrate the transfiguration of Christ, where he shines forth with that uncreated glory, showing not only the divine nature, but also what's possible in human nature, what we are called to become. People shining forth with the grace of God to the whole world. Now, this high calling is the highest, really, of callings, and it is intimidating, no question. So I'll share with you a little bit from the writings of the Desert Fathers. And the Desert Fathers are great, right, because they show us that height, right? They lived out in the desert, they fasted, they prayed, they lived like angels in the flesh. And sometimes we say, well, Father John, that's going to actually make matters worse because you're showing the great distance between them and us. Well, not all of the writings in the Desert Fathers deal with the heights to which man extends. They also deal with the depths because they were just like us. I want to share with you a story about this one monk who, in considering this lofty Christian ideal to become Christ-like, and having labored for some time, decided, you know, I give up. I can't do it anymore. And he decided he was going to leave the monastery and go into the city and go to a brothel. Now, his elder, being one of discernment and also charisma and had the gift of foresight and could penetrate into a person's soul, saw where he was at, and he decided he was going to help this poor monk. So the monk goes to this brothel, and he goes to the woman there, and he says to the woman, you know, yes, I'm a monk, but I'm here for, you know what? And she says, okay, that's fine, but I have a certain rule that I keep, a certain prayer rule that I keep. And she said, well, what we've got to do is we've got to do 50 prostrations and say the Jesus prayer, and then we can be about our business. Now, of course, the elder from the monastery had visited in advance and paid the woman for her time and said, this is what I want you to do. So this monk, who's kind of fallen, decides, all right, I could do 50 prostrations. I was doing 1,000 back in the monastery. I could do 50. So he starts doing the prostrations, and he gets to about 20 or 30, and then he realizes who he is. He realizes that he is not made for this. He comes to repentance. That word in Greek for repentance is metanoia. What's the word for making a prostration in Greek? Metanoia. Metanoia. The same exact word for change of mind is the same thing for making a prostration. And it was the prostration that changed his mind. The church gives us these spiritual disciplines to change us, to bring us to repentance. And this monk then didn't do the deed, but returned back to the monastery, renewed, and continued that ascent towards likeness of Christ. You know, I mentioned the Desert Fathers and how they reached such heights and were called to this, and sometimes we feel inspired to kind of go for this, to go for the prize. But sometimes we set our expectations too high. Elder Emilianos speaks about this. He says sometimes as Christians, we want to kind of just run out and change the whole world, and we're filled with such excitement and enthusiasm. And then by the time we get outside the doors, we forget what it is we were setting out to do. He says it's kind of like the desire to read the whole Bible cover to cover, and then when we go to do it, we cut our finger on the paper and we just give up. Or another example, and this isn't from him, this is from me. You want to fast on just bread and water, but then you find yourself in the kitchen the next day tearing at a little can of Spam with your teeth trying to open it because the goal was so high and we weren't up to the challenge. And we fall on our face. There's another story that Father Maximus shares about St. Paisius. It's about a man who's really struggling, like that monk. He's struggling, though, with his orientation. Very common thing today. And he goes to Mount Athos, and he goes to speak with a priest there. And the priest is not doing his job. And he tells the man, get out of here. You're a sinner. Leave. So the man is totally destroyed spiritually. I mean, he was struggling enough as it was, and then to be cast out of the holiest place on earth, so to speak, by a priest monk, he's in despondency, and he goes to the dock, and he's waiting for the boat. St. Paisius, who has this gift of clairvoyance, realizes what's going on. He sends one of his disciples out to the dock and he says, get this man. Don't let him go. Bring him back to me. So the man reluctantly does come and speak with Elder Paisius, and Elder Paisius says, I know what happened. And I know that you feel it to be impossible to fight against this temptation, to overcome this orientation, to live genuine Christian life. I know that it's very hard, and I know what this priest told you. But I'm going to tell you something different. Instead of talking about what you feel you can't do, let's talk about what you can do. Can you go to church this Sunday? And the man says, well, I'm on Mount Athos. I think I could probably find a church that would be open this Sunday. Can you go to church every Sunday? He says, well, yeah, you know, my parents brought me every Sunday when I was growing up. I could do that. I was accustomed to it before. I could do it again. All right, can you fast on Wednesdays and Fridays? I think I could do that. Not that difficult. Can you fast for the whole 4 fasting seasons? It says, well, you know, fasting, it actually isn't so hard for me because I kind of almost, I'm a vegetarian anyway, so it's no big deal. I can do that. Can you read a chapter a day from the Gospels and the Psalms? Yes, I can do that. Can you say 10 Jesus prayers? Can you say 100 Jesus prayers? Yeah, I can do that. And every little question he is asking, the man is saying, yes, I can do that. And Elder Paisius, St. Paisius says, well, if you can do that, do it. Our job as Christians is to do what we can do and leave to God to do what we can't do. That's how it works. We do what we can do, and God does what he can do. We do what's possible, he does what we consider to be impossible. And the man left encouraged, strengthened. You know, brothers and sisters, the church asks us to do the same thing, that which is possible, not that which is impossible. You know, I can't make a souffle or a cream brulee. Can't even pronounce those words. I can't make them. But you know, maybe it's good that I can make them because then I can eat them during the fast. It'll help me in my fasting. I can't jump up and dunk a basketball, but I can fall on my face in prostration. As a priest, I can't even transform the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. But I can say the appointed prayers, and God can do that. I can't send down the Holy Spirit into the baptismal font, but I can fill it with water. I can't overcome my passions and rid myself of all of my sins, but I can struggle and I can confess those sins and I can receive absolution. In the church, we can do so much, brothers and sisters, and God can do that which we can't do. That's the deal. That's the arrangement. That's how things work here. Even today, if you heard in the gospel reading, there were the 2 blind men. Well, they couldn't fix their blindness. What did they do? So they cried out, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when the Lord asked, do you believe? They said, yes. They offered belief in Christ that he could do for them what they couldn't do for themselves, and he did it. The demoniac who couldn't speak, well, what did he do? Doesn't say anything actually in the gospel. Doesn't say that he showed some sign of faith or this or that. It says they brought him to Christ. And Christ cast out the demon. Seems like the man did nothing. No. The man struggled against those demons, whose desire it is to destroy us like those swine running off the cliff. The man struggled just to stay alive. Sometimes that's what's asked of us. Just to stay alive and let God do the rest. In 2 days, we're about to celebrate the Transfiguration, the feast of our own transfiguration in Christ, our own transformation, our own change, our own being lifted up to experience that high calling. Can we show up to church? That's what's asking us, right? Not to climb a mountain, just to roll up in our cars to the church. I think we can do that, and I think if we do that, we'll say like the Apostle Peter, it is good for us to be here. And I'll close with a quote from St. John Chrysostom. And this is really ended Father Maximus' presentation. Chrysostom says, "Do you want to know what the church is? Do you want to know what the church is? The church is the place where a prostitute goes in and comes out being pure. The church is the place where a wolf enters in and exits a lamb. The church is the place where the soul that is dirty enters in and exits white as snow. The church is the place where the thief entered into paradise." Brothers and sisters, the church is the place of our transformation, our transfiguration, the place where Christ lifts us up to that high calling that he gave us and that he can accomplish in us. Let us do our part when he asks us the question, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Like we heard in the gospel, let us say, "Yes, Lord." Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.